Chapter 33. The logistics of preparing for a flare cycle were complicated, involving a half dozen other ships. It was a risk bringing other ships close to the sun, and we wouldn't do it if it wasn't necessary. It was necessary, because in order to create enough flares to chase away the cloud before Earth froze, Valkyrie had to be exposed and vulnerable for most of the time Skippy was doing his magic. We needed escort ships to protect us. Why? A lot of reasons that we had to very patiently explain to UNEF Command over and over until it sank into their thick skulls. Okay, maybe I'm being harsh, but I had to sit through the same freaking PowerPoint presentation more times than I can count. The sun is big, sure, but to create flares that are useful for pushing away the cloud, Skippy had to act within a narrow slice of that huge sphere. We also could not effectively maintain stealth around something as large as our ship, that close to a hellish source of high-energy photons and charged particles. Due to the magic of Skippy, Valkyrie could jump away from a position much closer to the sun than any other ship in the galaxy. Than any other ship Skippy knows of, I mean, and we have to trust him. The problem with jumping away so close to a star is that doing so requires Skippy to flatten space-time around the ship, and that takes time. Time during which enemy ships could jump in on top of us, could pound us with a concentrated barrage of weapons fire, and wrap Valkyrie in a damping field to prevent our drive from forming a jump wormhole. So we needed a little help from our friends. How could a handful of former Jarraptha cruisers and destroyers protect our mighty battlecruiser if either or both of the senior species jumped in with a whole task force? Not with railguns or missiles or any kind of directed energy. The protection they provided did involve energy fields, just not of an offensive nature. At least four ships were required to form a box around Valkyrie's position, radiating energy to create a strong disruption field that prevented enemy ships from jumping in on top of us. Skippy warned that the Rindaloo had technology and tactics that could poke a hole in a disruption field, so the fields emitted by the four ships involved had to be carefully turned under his direction, partially counteracting the ability of the spiders to surprise us. With the protection of a disruption field saturating the area, enemy ships would have to jump in far enough away that by the time their damping fields reached our position, Valkyrie would have jumped away to safety. Yes, I did not like the idea of running away and leaving our escort ships to fight by themselves, but that is why they are designated as escorts. Besides, once Valkyrie escaped to safety, it was unlikely that ships of a senior species would bother shooting at a comparatively low-tech escort group. The timing of setting up the disruption field had to be precise, like so precise that we had to rely on Bilby to time our jump to emerge in the center of the formation. Our resident slacker AI had to rely on super-accurate intel from the escort ships. Once the field was established and stable, each of the four escort ship AIs had to modulate their field emitters in a specific sequence programmed by Skippy so the field's fluctuations would be unpredictable. That is, unpredictable to any enemy ship studying the field, trying to find a weakness. Also unpredictable to the escort ships themselves, in case the enemy had a way to hack into their comparatively primitive AIs. There were only two entities in the universe who knew exactly when the disruption field would experience a hiccup, one that left a small, weak area near the center. A weak area Valkyrie could safely jump into just before the apparently random dance of interacting fields re-established their full strength and slammed the door on any ability for ships to emerge from jump there. Skippy, of course, knew. He had programmed the routine run by the escort ships. And Bilby knew, since he had to trigger Valkyrie's jump drive. The timing required for us to jump in was incredibly precise. All the escort ships knew was that we had set up a 27-minute window during which our battlecruiser could appear. On Valkyrie's bridge, we knew the timing within a 3-minute window, then within 10 seconds either way. During the maneuver, I kept my hands in my lap, safely away from the controls on the armrest of my command chair. The two pilots kept their thumbs mashed down on the jump control, authorizing Bilby to initiate the tear in space-time at the moment needed. We jumped, emerging safely and within 63 meters of the target location. That was pretty amazing for a jump of 19 light hours from where the fabricator ship Milo was parked out past the orbit of Pluto. Bilby, that is outstanding accuracy, I praised the ship's AI. Meh, Skippy sniffed. The weak spot in the disruption field guides the far end point of our jump wormhole. It would be hard to miss it. Thank you for those kind remarks, you little shithead, I snapped at him. Sorry, he mumbled. Normally I would have asked him for a situation report, but I was pissed at him, and the information I needed was on the main display. We had emerged slightly off-center of the imaginary box bordered by 6 UN Navy ships. 4 of the ships were projecting the disruption field, with the other 2 standing by with their field generators warmed up. The active ships were the heavy cruisers Wonghae and Congo, plus the destroyers Harbin and Chicago, with the destroyers Jakarta and Chennai as reserves. The Wonghae being there was a bit odd. That ship had been scheduled to ride a star carrier back to Jaguar Base for refit, but the Chinese had requested to delay the heavy maintenance cycle. The ships assigned to escort the flare missions were specially equipped with disruption field generators that compromised their combat capability, so we didn't have many of them, and so couldn't afford any of them to have unscheduled downtime. When the Navy received the Chinese request, Skippy had scanned the Wonghae and grudgingly stated that ship was fine to participate in another 2 or 3 cycles. So, the cruiser remained with us, giving the Ishikari additional time for training before stepping in. Whatever. The escort ships had to coordinate with and take their direction from the mission leader, meaning from me. But for purposes of organization, personnel, and logistics of the escort group, there was a UN Navy bureau that handled that stuff. Command of that bureau rotated among the UNEF member nations. A Chinese admiral had taken over several weeks ago, which, again, to me, was another whatever. It wasn't my responsibility to manage the escort group, and I was happy about that. There was enough work for me to do. Like I said, normally I would have asked for a sit rep as standard procedure, though anything I needed to know was supposed to be on the display. Everything appeared normal. Except... Bilby? I turned to my XO. She had seen the same thing. What's going on with the disruption field? Skippy answered. There's a minor glitch, Joe. Damn, this thing is a pain in the ass. That is more than a glitch, Skippy. Toggling the display with the controls on my armrest, I highlighted the graphic image of the continuously dancing distortion around us. The false color image of the field should have grown green to signal it was at or above the strength needed to prevent unauthorized ships from jumping in. Most of the invisible field saturating the area was green, but there was also some yellowish green, and swaths of the field fluctuated between green and orange. What's the problem? As I spoke, I caught the eye of our current lead pilot, a Lieutenant Choi. He nodded, looking toward his index finger, poised to jump us away. Hold one, Skippy asked. It was still odd to hear him use in military-style language. Well, damn it. There is a problem I can't identify. Working on it. What is the problem? I demanded, holding up a hand to Choi. Unless we absolutely had to, I didn't want to jump away. Doing that would mean starting the cycle all over from the beginning, adding 2 freaking days to the schedule. I don't know yet, dum-dum, he snapped back at me. Bilby, it was time to try my luck with another, less irritable AI. Talk to me. Oh, well, dude, it's like... complicated. Just describe it to me, please. The fields projected by the Wonghae and the Harbin are not coordinated properly. Like, they are out of sync, you know? Both ships know they have a problem, and they're working to fix it. Bilby dropping his typical slacker drawl told me he was under stress, too. Right now, what they're doing is only making the problem worse. Orange steadily spread across the display. Can they drop out? Have the reserve ships bring their field generators online? Like, they could, but, there would be a serious gap in coverage. The field is so dorked up, pulling those 2 ships out and backfilling with others right now would temporarily cancel out the entire effect. Shit, that's no good. Should we jump away, try this again? Skippy says not yet. Like, that is the polite version of what he just told me, you know? He says the Wonghae is already responding. Then why do I see the field keep getting weaker? Only in a few localized areas, dude. He was right. Overall, the distortion effect around us was returning to solid green, but the isolated blobs of orange were becoming red. This problem is only with the Chinese ships? Damn it, did they recently perform a software update or fail to perform an update? I was trying to think of what could affect a cruiser and also a destroyer. The only thing they had in common were they're all Chinese crews, which meant that if the maintenance team aboard one ship made a mistake and the other ship's maintenance team had the same training, they could have made the same mistake.
Not that I know of, General Dude, Bilby drawled. I can, ask their AIs to check their records. Please do that.
I felt myself growing irritated and took a deep breath to relax. Skilled people and amazingly smart AIs were working to diagnose and fix the problem. They didn't need my help or my interference.
Okay, Joe. Skippy sounded weary. I still don't know the source of the problem with either ship, which is odd and also interesting. Finally, something in my life is interesting.
Yeah, that's great, Skippy. Can you fix it?
Huh?
No.
Then what the I can't fix anything from here. What I'm doing is working with the master AIs of both ships to help them fix the problem. It looks like somebody, most likely a filthy monkey, loaded a bad version of my field control subroutine. I have no idea how that could have happened. It's also...
Huh. Now that I think about it, this is weird. The fields of the two affected ships are out of sync and remaining out of sync in a way that also interferes with the field projected from the Congo. That is odd. It's the only pattern that could cause a resonance that creates localized weak spots in the field, even while all four ships have cranked their generators up to full emergency power. Well, it's a mystery, but the field is returning to normal, so we can worry about it later. Well, that's not good. Maybe I can... Oh, shit! A whole lot of things happened at the same time, and my poor monkey brain wasn't able to follow it in real time, so here's what I pieced together from replaying the sensor data later. Some of it I probably vaguely understood at the time, some of it Skippy or Bilby or the bridge crew were trying to alert me about as it happened, and some of it I could see on the main display, even if while seeing it I didn't understand what was going on. The first thing that actually happened is the red blobs representing weak areas of the disruption field faded out around us, while a big dark red blob formed right on top of Valkyrie. The next thing, which I definitely saw at the time and had a WTF reaction to, was the Huanghe and the Harbin firing maser cannons at the Congo, followed by railgun darts being flung at the heavy cruiser. The Congo had its energy shields active, of course, but being close to the sun, those shields were already stressed. Plus, a large portion of Congo's discretionary power budget was taken up by the disruption field generators, and switching power management to boost the shields isn't something that can happen in an instant. The result was that one of the heavy cruiser's reactors took a direct hit from a railgun dart and exploded in a shower of plasma that knocked out the reactor next to it. That caused the ship's disruption field generators to sputter and go offline, dropping the field strength even more, just as the next damn thing happened. Even playing back the sensor data in slow motion, it was hard to see what happened. We had to rely on Skippy to interpret the images for us. Two courageous class battlecruisers jumped in on either side of us, or they tried to. Something very bad happened. It was like the event horizons of their jump wormholes got stretched and smushed and tied in knots and flickered in and out almost too rapidly for even Skippy to see. The result was when those ships did make it through their jumps, they emerged more than 300,000 kilometers away rather than right on top of us. The other result was that the jumps left those ships in less than showroom condition. The Intrepid sheared in half and ultimately exploded, while the Dauntless fared slightly better. That ship broke its back, bending noticeably about two-thirds of the way from the nose, and every one of its reactors bloomed as plasma was vented in an emergency blow. With main power offline, the energy shields blinked out, exposing the tough armored hull to the scorching sun. Instantly, Dauntless was surrounded by a fog of pink plasma, plus melted bits of anything on the hull that wasn't protected by armor plating. I had just opened my mouth to ask, probably a totally stupid question, when whoever was aboard Dauntless ripple-fired a barrage of missiles at us. Just as the deck rocked, when both Huanghe and Harbin switched the aim of their weapons from Congo to Valkyrie, striking our shields with maser cannons.
Skippy, get us the hell out of here. Working on it. The chaos of the remaining disruption field is making it difficult to get a lock on... Okay, we're good. Choi, punch it. I pointed to our chief pilot, and he pressed a button on his console. We jumped. Valkyrie emerged only 92 light minutes away, way above the sun, with all the planets of our home star system orbiting on a plane below us. Okay. I took a shuddering breath, feeling my pulse pounding in my throat. I want to know what, and I can't stress this enough, the fuck just happened? Skippy didn't answer immediately, and my spidey sense went to maximum alert. Skippy?
Dude.
Bilby's voice was as shaky as mine.
He's, like, busy. Warping space-time that close to a star took a lot out of him. Whoa. That was bogus.
What was bogus? What happened? Intrepid and Dauntless just... Oh, shit. In a flash, my brain told me that Intrepid and Dauntless were English translations of the names assigned to those unlucky ships. Their official names were Chang'an and Wu Wei. Their official Chinese names. The heavy cruiser Huang He and the destroyer Harbin, the former Jurap, the ships that fired first at Congo and then at us, were also controlled by China, crewed entirely by Chinese nationals. Damn it, I told UNEF that designating ships along national lines was a mistake, but did they listen to me? No, they did not.
Sir, Strebik called for my attention. We don't know what is happening at Earth.
She was right, we did not. When we were close to the sun, our information about events at and around Earth were outdated by 8 minutes. From our current position, we were more than an hour behind the times.
Right, XO. Bilby, are we ready to jump again?
We should wait for Skippy. He knows what...
We're good, Joe, Skippy said. I advise you not to do anything stupid, but got it. What happened back there? Give me the short version.
My guess is someone was trying to capture me. I'd say that either of the senior species could have been involved, but clearly the Chinese were the main actors. Their ships faked a problem with the disruption field generators after we arrived to create a weak spot where the two battle cruisers they have in system could jump in and disable Valkyrie.
Shit, I groaned. Not because what he said surprised me, but because it agreed with my suspicions, and I didn't like thinking that our own people, other humans, were shooting at us.
What happened to the Chang'an and the Wu Wei? They had a clear zone for jumping on top of us.
I happened, Joe, he said simply, without boasting. When I saw the field right around us was weakening, I couldn't add energy to strengthen it, but I could try to retune it temporarily. Really, I had no idea there was any actual danger. I was just screwing around, seeing what I could do. You know, to impress the monkeys, which is silly of me. Those Chinese ships had their jump drives tuned to take advantage of an extremely narrow window of opportunity. Me tweaking the field resonance seriously dorked up their jump wormholes. Joe, we got lucky. Whatever the Chinese intended, they were willing to give the green light to a very low percentage of survival operation. They must truly be desperate. Whatever you do next, you should be extremely careful.
Right. Choi, jump.
I froze. Only then did I remember that Lieutenant Choi was a member of the People's Liberation Army Air Force of China. He must have understood what was happening before I did, because he had his hands in the air, away from the flight controls. Turning slowly toward me, his eyes were stretched wide open in shock and confusion.
General, he said, his Adam's apple bouncing nervously. I do not know what is going on, only that I am not involved.
Crap. I gasped, demonstrating that I always know the right thing to say at any occasion. Damn it! Should I relieve Choi, showing everyone aboard the ship and beyond that I only trusted the crew based on their nationality? Or should I allow him to continue to fly the ship, taking a risk that his loyalties might be divided or entirely against me? Fortunately, my slow brain never had to make that call. Choi solved the dilemma for me.
Sir, I request to be relieved, he said, as he slid partway out of the pilot couch.
Lieutenant, you don't...
Sir, we don't know what orders I might receive from my country when we reach Earth. I would...
He looked away for an uncomfortable moment.
Not like to be in a position where I might have to refuse a direct order.
Gotcha. I nodded. He was protecting us and himself and his family. If he wasn't in a position to carry out orders detrimental to the ship, he couldn't be blamed for not carrying out such orders. That's something I should have considered. Very well, Lieutenant. He stood up stiffly. Am I confined to quarters? That pissed me off. My anger wasn't directed at him, it was directed at the assholes who created a situation where a fine officer like Choi had to ask such a question. Hell no. You're still on duty, Lieutenant. Go to the pilot's ready room. I may need your advice if we do receive any... I searched for a good way to say a terrible thing. Controversial or conflicting instructions. The relief on Choi's face was immediate. Most of the time, my job sucks. But once in a while, I get to do something good for good people. That makes it all worthwhile. Choi left the bridge as Patel took over as lead pilot and a relief pilot slid into the vacated seat. Strebik silently tapped my leg, and we shared a look. Neither of us believed Choi had any knowledge of whatever the hell was going on. It would have been incredibly stupid to let a high-visibility member of the bridge crew know about a secret operation when any slip-up could be detected by Skippy. That did not mean that other Chinese members of the crew were not involved. On her tablet, Strebik was typing out a request for Skippy to watch the entire crew very closely. She didn't single out any nationality. She didn't need to. Skippy isn't that clueless. Strebik pointed to the icon on her tablet that could lock down the ship, slam close and lock all interior doors with no local override. She had already sealed off the ship's armory. Not just the main armory. The Star Team had a separate armory for some of their specialized gear like combats. Leaning over toward my XO, I tapped the icon to secure the section of the ship that was dedicated to the Star Team. Because we had no special operations troops aboard. The flare missions had no role for the Stars, so Smythe's team was training on Earth. I think they were somewhere in Norway at the time. Shit. Unlike a U.S. Navy ship, we didn't even have a security contingent of Marines aboard. If there was an attempt to take over the ship by a hostile party within the crew, I would have to fight using Skippy and people loyal to me. That was not a happy thought. Here's another happy thought. Right then, I remembered that the Intrepid and Dauntless were away from Earth together when we began the flare cycle. They had each embarked a large element of Chinese special operations troops, supposedly for a training exercise in the asteroid belt. That was, I realized too late, a cover for the real purpose of those soldiers. Their true mission was to board and seize control of Valkyrie after the battlecruisers disabled our ship in a surprise attack. The attack would have succeeded if not for Skippy being curious about whether he could tweak a disruption field, which he apparently only did because he was bored out of his mind. While I was pissed about being stabbed in the back, the professional side of me had to admit the Chinese had a good plan and apparently excellent operational security. Somehow they concealed the planning and presumably their training from Skippy, which is not easy to do.
What about Congo and Chicago? Strebik asked quietly. The crews aboard those ships can fend for themselves.
They have to, I added under my breath. We were the target. We got away. There's no point in continuing the fight now. She stared straight ahead, not looking at me. After a moment, she nodded. It was a question she had to ask to remind me of our responsibility to those who risked their lives for us. She knew the answer I had to give. Straightening up in my chair, I tried to be the commander my crew needed right then. Let's try this again. Patel, jump option. Wait. Skippy? Yes. I want all communications outbound and inbound to run through the Skippytel network. Please screen out any, unwanted telemarketer calls, if you know what I mean. I know what you mean, he replied, without his usual snarkiness. Whatever was going on, it had him deeply concerned. Thank you. Everyone, on your toes. We need to expect the unexpected. Patel, punch it. Remember what I said about peacetime being crushingly dull and boring? Yeah, forget what I said. Those were good times. The whole 2 freaking months before some jackasses decided to get ambitious. Earth orbit was again crowded with roving gangs of UN Navy warships, though there was nothing united about their actions. Everyone had their guns pointed at everyone else,
and the ships of the other four permanent members of UNEF had their guns pointed at China and their remaining warships. The Chinese had suffered huge losses in the engagement. Both of their battle cruisers involved were lost. Intrepid had exploded immediately. Dauntless was so badly damaged that the Huanghe had to come alongside to evacuate the stricken ship's crew. Then the battlecruiser was abandoned, still drifting in a low orbit around the sun. There was talk of mounting a recovery mission. Skippy told me that would be a waste of resources. By the time Dauntless could be towed up to a distance where it would be safe for a star carrier to latch on, the battlecruiser's internal structure would be compromised by intense heat and radiation. So we had lost 2 of 18 courageous class ships from our tiny navy. Those weren't the only combat losses from unfriendly fire. After we jumped away, the destroyer Harbin had been torn apart by devastating return fire from Congo, Chicago, Jakarta, and Chennai before Huanghe's captain requested a ceasefire. Compounding the damage, the Huanghe jumped into Earth orbit to bring back the survivors of Dauntless. The other UN ships demanded that the heavy cruiser surrender, so after everyone got away in dropships, the Huanghe self-destructed as a final screw-you gesture. Damn it. We can't keep scoring goals for the other team. Not only did our navy needlessly lose a heavy cruiser, there was now even more battle debris cluttering up Earth orbit. That debris caused damage to vulnerable satellites, restricted the movements of ships, and forced UNEF to donate scarce resources to cleaning up the navigation hazards. In addition to, you know, debris raining down on the heads of people all over the planet. What a freaking mess. UNEF Command ordered an indefinite pause in the solar flare program, even before Skippy declared he wasn't putting himself at further risk until we filthy monkeys seriously got our shit together. With the solar flare program suspended, people on Earth were growing anxious again about the coming mini ice age, and everyone was blaming China. The citizens of China were loudly blaming their own government, and that had resulted in the resignations and arrests of military leaders, ministers, and other government officials. Skippy's investigation revealed the plot appeared to be confined to a tight cadre of rogue Chinese officers who had not trusted their own senior leadership to do the right thing. It was encouraging that the operation was not official Chinese government policy. It was frightening that a small group of conspirators had nearly accomplished what the full might of the Maxalk's hegemony had failed to do. Clearly, UNEF internal security procedures needed a major upgrade. The fact that the people who tried to stab us in the back had gotten played by aliens who were very skilled at manipulation did not make much of a difference. For once, I agreed with Skippy's disparaging assessment of our species. Strebik was standing in front of her chair when I walked onto the bridge. She looked away from the display, nodded at me, then turned back to watch the action going on in Earth orbit. 3 weeks after our own team tried to stab us in the back, the situation on and around our home planet had settled down to a tense and watchful peace. No human-controlled starships were shooting at other human ships. That had to go into the win column. It was about the only win we could count since the incident. Our missions to create solar flare cycles were still on hold while the UN debated how to increase security at times whenever Valkyrie was exposed. UNEF Command had floated several suggestions, all of which got quickly shot down by Skippy. Of course, Command requested that I intervene, and I followed orders by politely asking Skippy to reconsider. I did that once, he rejected the idea, and I reported to Command that I had done all I could. What Strebik was watching on the display was a Chinese destroyer coming into the fuel depot station at the L5 Lagrange point, out near the moon's orbit. It was the first Chinese warship authorized to be near Earth since the incident. That ship, and all the other ships still controlled by the Chinese military, had almost entirely new crews, plus a team of UNEF observers. Nobody was happy about that. The whole situation sucked. The UN Navy could not count on Chinese ships to do anything useful, not because their new crews couldn't be trusted, but because they lacked experience. The Navy ships that were designated for international crews had been purged of Chinese crew members, and that included Valkyrie. Over my protests, all Chinese had been pulled from my command, requiring me to backfill the positions to keep my ship running smoothly. It was, well, like I said, it sucked. How's it going, XO? I asked quietly, standing next to her. We have met the enemy, she announced softly, pointing to the French and American cruisers that were closely escorting the Chinese destroyer.
And they are us.
Yeah. All these years out here, I never thought we would shoot ourselves in the foot.
More like stab ourselves in the back, she muttered.
What the hell were they thinking? I do not buy the line of bullshit that the Chinese felt they were being excluded and they had no choice.
Skippy says, I shrugged. The senior species have powerful AIs with sophisticated models to predict our behavior. The kitties and spiders have been playing this game for a long time. They are experts at manipulating others to get what they want. They knew exactly what buttons to push. If China hadn't taken the bait, they would have tried something else. We should have known this ceasefire was bullshit. It was too easy.
Do we need to crash another wormhole network to make the point that the seniors can't screw with us however they want?
Hell, we can't. For a moment, I forgot that Strebik hadn't been read into the secret of our bluff. We shouldn't, I corrected myself, play that card every time something bad happens. At the moment, we don't have to worry about it until we get back from Jaguar.
Unless, she narrowed her eyes as she looked at me. Command expects us to have a list of options for a response.
Crap. I shook my head.
Strebik, the ship is yours. I'll be in my office working on PowerPoint slides.